puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we say hello once again to Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Shanalee.
So what are we talking about this week?
Our topic hinges on the question, what is a restroom? Now, strictly speaking, the word implies a place where one rests. However, in many people's minds, I suspect, it is a euphemism for a toilet. This week, we're going to consider an entirely different type of restroom that was once common, now gone, in many country towns around the province. But there's at least one former restroom that is still standing in the village of Napinka in southwestern Manitoba.
Okay, so not a toilet. What is meant by restroom?
Okay, well, in the context of today's conversation, we mean a place where one can literally rest. Maybe you chat with other people, read a book, entertain small children, or maybe even change their diapers. Well, maybe even go to the toilet yourself. And the majority of such restrooms were patronized by women.
Why is that?
Well, if we look back to the early days of agriculture in southern Manitoba, many people were establishing remote farms on what had once been vast grasslands. It was undoubtedly a lonely existence in those days. You didn't have very many neighbors. There were no telephones. So homesteaders looked forward to a visit to the nearest town. The main motivations for the visits were practical ones: to buy their groceries, to pick up farm equipment or parts, to deliver grain to an elevator or buy livestock feed, wait for an arriving train, or any of several other reasons. Men would often congregate in the agent's office of a grain elevator for chats over coffee or maybe a stronger beverage. But farm women had few such social options. Enter the restroom.
What kind of amenities did the restrooms offer?
Well, it depended on the size of the community and the perceived need for a restroom. Some restrooms simply contained donated or cast-off furniture, chairs, sofas, tables, and that sort of thing, where women could sit and converse with one another. Some were heated, so they remained comfortable in the winter, and some had oil lamps or electric lights to provide illumination as it grew dark outside. Some had baby-changing facilities. There was often a stack of donated magazines to read, or sometimes a lending library of books. More ambitious restrooms would provide equipment for making tea and other beverages. The most affluent restrooms would have a matron or a caretaker. Their job was to keep the restroom tidy and clean, and to provide security for, well, they were mostly unlocked, and therefore, you know, they wanted to make sure that they remained safe.
When did restrooms first begin to appear?
Well, it's not known exactly. The only study of the restroom phenomenon in Manitoba was carried out in the 1980s by a University of Manitoba professor named Donna Norell. Her research indicated that the restrooms began to appear in the early 20th century, and they continued into the early 1980s. The motivation to establish them decades after settlement began was that in the early days of homesteading in the 19th century, the focus was on survival, not so much on comfort. So it was only as people became a little more settled that women began to advocate for the construction of restrooms. The larger country towns all had them of one sort or another, and the number of restrooms between the 1920s and 50s ranged between 20 and 30, peaking, I'm told, at 32 in the year 1951.
Who paid to operate the restrooms?
Well, it varied between communities, but there were three main sources of funds. There was the local government, the town or the rural municipality in which the restroom was located. Sometimes it was community groups such as church congregations or other social organizations. But more importantly, by far, the funding was provided by the local Women's Institute.
What exactly is a Women's Institute?
Well, from the name alone, one might think it was some kind of academic think tank. In reality, it was a social movement established here in Manitoba in 1910. That's when two female professors in home economics from the Manitoba Agricultural College here in Winnipeg toured the province. And their objective was to encourage rural women to establish what were known at that time as home economics societies. Now, their advocacy ultimately led to the formation of societies in 17 communities, the first of which was at Morris, Manitoba. Morris has the distinction of having the very first one. The home economic societies undertook a variety of community service projects. Well, for example, they documented local history. Many of the local history books around the province are the product of one of these societies. They offered courses in such domestic topics as making clothes, cooking, food preservation techniques, childcare. Some of these home economic societies became involved in advocating for the rights of women, including the right to vote. And of course, if you do the math, formed in 1910, well, women got the right to vote only 6 years later, first province in Canada in 1916. 3 years later, 1919, they changed the name. It was no longer Home Economic Societies. It was changed to Women's Institutes of Manitoba.
Gordon, do women's institutes still exist?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're not as active as they once were. Over 300 of these local institutes existed around Manitoba at one time or another. Today, there are 9. And they range in size from anywhere from 6 to 22 members. However, I don't think their activities involve the operation of restrooms, which I think have pretty much gone extinct. There simply isn't the same necessity as in the past, now that a, quote, trip to town is not the day-long activity that it was in former times. Professor Norell also attributed the abandonment of women's restrooms to the arise of what was called the Memorial Hall. Many towns around Manitoba built a memorial hall either after the First World War or after the Second World War as a way of remembering those who had died during military service. Those halls were multi-purpose buildings, and therefore they could support many of the same functions as the restroom and much more. You know, it's also worth remembering, though, too, that as of 1957, beer parlors, which we talked about a few weeks ago, and which ceased to be male-only bastions, well, they began to provide another space for women to meet and socialize. So there just simply wasn't a need for these separate restrooms.
You said earlier that there's a restroom at Napinka. What's its story?
Well, it was a small wooden building, about 360 square feet in total area. So, you know, not a big building at all. But the area was not entirely given over to the resting women. In addition to hosting the restroom, the building was also the local fire hall, and there was also the local jail, which I find a really interesting combination of functions. The building itself was constructed in 1925, and it was used as a restroom through the 1930s and early 1940s. But it was also a meeting place for the Napinka Women's Institute and a public library. These social functions ended, I'm told, in 1946 with the opening of a memorial hall in Napinka. Today, the little building appears to be used only as a storage space for firefighting equipment. Although, it is in pretty good shape. And, I noticed, for example, that it had a well-shingled roof. Maybe the exterior could use a little bit of a paint job, but it is still an interesting reminder of this once common type of building, now gone.
Are there any other former restrooms that still exist?
Well, when Professor Norell did her study of restrooms in the 1980s, there was one at Grandview that occupied a two-story brick building with the restroom on the main floor and an apartment for the caretaker on the second floor. It was constructed in 1948, but the restroom was closed. I'm not sure exactly when, but I found a reference in a newspaper that said it was demolished in late 2001. So, no, it's not there anymore. But I am told that there are potentially former restroom buildings in Deloraine, Melitta, and Wawanisa. And maybe our listeners can clue me in on other former restroom buildings that still stand. And if so, I encourage them to contact me. The best way to do that is by email at Gordon, G-O-R-D-O-N, at mhs.mb.ca.
I didn't know about these restrooms. It's so interesting. And it makes sense, though.
It does indeed. And, that's the thing. It's one of those little buildings that's functional, it's important, but, not everybody realizes that. And so maybe it just hasn't got the kind of cachet that grain elevators have, but an equally important part of Manitoba's history.
Yeah, absolutely. And Gordon, can you give us a clue about next week's episode?
Well, we're going to talk about a former movie theater, the first of its kind in Canada, that was located underneath a former horse racing track.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that one.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Gordon.
Bye-bye for now.
No matter where.
time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.